Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're going to begin reading in verse number 42. 1 Samuel 17, we're going to read verses 42 through 47. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Samuel 17, verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog, that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And let's pray. Father, thank you for all you do for us. Thank you for the privilege we have to be part of this wonderful work that you're doing here in Martinsburg. We ask now that you'd meet with us this evening, as you've done so many times in the past. Do something in our hearts. Lord, we ask that you'd give our preacher your strength and power. Use him to help us to be more like you, that we might glorify you more with our lives. We're counting on you doing something in our hearts, Lord. We beg you, please meet with us and do something. We love you, Lord. Amen. And you can be seated. If you still have your Bible open there, look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 47. I'll read the scripture to you again. It says, And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. The sermon title tonight is this, The Battle is the Lord's. We see here the story so commonly known as the story of David and Goliath. Goliath of Gath was the champion of the Philistines, and he has verbally threatened and belittled and humiliated and challenged God's army. Nobody, including King Saul, who King Saul stood head and shoulders above all the other men, nobody would fight Goliath. Young David went to the place of the battle to provide provisions for his brothers who were soldiers in the army. David was yet too young to truly be a part of the army, but while David is there, Goliath repeats his slander. And we know the story. David ends up taking the challenge that Goliath throws at the armies of Israel. All the other soldiers did not take the challenge. I don't think they felt like maybe it was their job to step up. Maybe they didn't feel like that this Goliath fellow was their problem. There was a cause, though, that was greater that they did not recognize. Now, David is the one that steps up to fight Goliath. I want to tell you, he tells us here in 1 Samuel 17, 47, why he stepped up. Notice, he said, for the battle is the Lord's. I think David seen a greater need, and David seen something maybe that everybody else did not see. And folks, since the battle is the Lord's, I need to step up and fight his battle, his way, so he can get the victory. And I think that was David's attitude. David said, this battle is the Lord's. And I will step up. I will help the Lord fight his battle. I'll fight God's battle, God's way, and we'll give God the victory. So David makes it clear that the battle is the Lord's. Now, in the Christian life and in our lives here on this earth, We could get the attitude, well, if the battle's the Lord's, then I guess I'm excused from fighting. Let him take care of it. Now, that's a cheap, cowardly, lazy cop-out. God did not intend for man to watch God fight the battle. God intended that man and God together fight the battle. Now, folks, I want to remind you of something. There is a spiritual battle that rages. It's bigger than you and I. We lose track of it. We go about our merry way. Tomorrow you'll get up and you'll go to work, and if you're not careful, you'll forget there is a battle between good and evil that rages all day long every day. There's something happening, and one of these days when you and I get to heaven, we're going to have that spiritual insight and that spiritual perception to realize so many of the things that were happening to you and to me every day of our life. Housewives, you at home, and you just feel like, well, I'm just doing my everyday duties and this challenge or that challenge. It's nothing special. I don't think we realize that all day long, every day, there's a battle raging, and we're a part of it. And what's happening to us is not coincidence. What's happening to us is it's not just what we might call an uh-oh of life or wow, how'd that happen? Hey, there's a battle that's going on between good and evil, between the Lord and the devil, and we're right in the midst of the whole thing. But let me say this to you. The battle is the Lord's. I have got to remind myself that the battle is the Lord's. I've got to remind myself of that often. The battle is the Lord's. Let me talk to you about it. I'm not going to keep you late this evening. You don't have to worry about that. But let me give you a sermon. I wish I had 2 hours to preach it. I do not. You listen carefully and quickly, and I'll talk quickly. Let me say, the battle is not man's, but the battle is the Lord's. The battle's over things like truth and right and holiness and love and the souls of men. These are God's qualities, and these are the things that God loves. These are the things that God is, and these are the things that God defends. The Bible says in Psalm 45, verse number 4, "And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness." That God is in a battle, and he fights for these things that are of God, and it's what God is. Now, the Lord's name and his glory are being defended in the battle. Take your Bible quickly. Turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. I'm saying the battle is the Lord's. The battle's not man's. And God is fighting for things like love and holiness and righteousness and meekness and truth. God's fighting for those things. Now, we have to realize also, in this battle that's the Lord's, it's the Lord's name and it's the Lord's glory that are being defended in this battle. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 5, the Bible says, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Now listen, it is the glory of the Lord that is going to be revealed as a result of this battle. Notice, it's God's name that's being defended. Don't lose track of something, folks. It's not your name that's being defended. It's God's name. More important than your name is the name of Jesus. More important than your name is the name of God. There is a battle that rages, and the battle is the Lord's battle. It's not my battle, and God is fighting for goodness and righteousness and holiness. We are fighting for the name of God, not just for our name. We are asked to fight in this battle with him. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 12, "Fight the good fight of faith." God said, "I'm fighting. I'm fighting for my name. I'm fighting for righteousness and holiness. I'm fighting for the souls of men." And God said, "I want you to join me in my battle." It's not our fight. It's God's fight. We are not asking him to fight for us as much as he's coming and saying, "Join me as I fight for us all." We're to fight his battle. We're to fight his battle using his power. Listen to this verse. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12 says, "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." Keep your eyes on God. You say, "Brother Owens, I don't seem to have power in this battle." You keep your eyes on God. God has power, and we're not fighting our own battle. We're fighting God's battle. We're fighting for him and with him. And remember, we're fighting to defend his name. We're fighting
to defend his qualities. We are fighting in his battle. I thank God for this. He has promised to fight in this battle, and he's going to win it. Romans chapter 16, verse number 20 says, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." You know what's going to happen? I believe that we're going to see the day when evil will be put down. We will see the day when wrong will be put down and injustice will be put down. We're fighting in a battle. God promises he will fight. He asks us to fight. He tells us, you remember, this is my battle. You're defending my qualities. You are defending me. You're defending my name. You know what happens, though? We get to thinking we're defending our own name. No, you're defending the name of God. You think you're defending your own cause. You're defending a cause greater than your cause. The day when David fought Goliath, do you realize why a bunch of other people didn't jump into the battle? They weren't sure whose battle that was. David jumped in and said, "I'm in. This is not my war. This is a war between good and evil. This is God's battle. I'm in." And we need to look at it the very same way that David did. You know, when the Lord's battle comes to its victorious end, he will deserve all the glory for the winning of that battle. Exodus 15:1, we see the story of when the children of Israel had escaped from Egypt and Pharaoh's captivity. And all of Pharaoh's army had drowned in the water. And the Bible says this, after that occurred, it said, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphantly, he has triumphed gloriously, and the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." It is God that will triumph. It is God who will be uplifted. Don't lose track of something, folks. You and I, we're just little people on a globe. And there's something much, much bigger taking place. There is a battle between Satan and God taking place. You and I are honored to be a part of the army of the Lord, but let's remember, we're not fighting for ourselves, we're fighting for him. We're not fighting for our own goodness and righteousness, we're fighting for the righteousness and the goodness of God. We're not fighting for our name, we're fighting for his name. We're not going to fight in our power, we're going to fight in his power, and he'll fight with us, and he's promised that he's going to get in the battle, he's going to trump the devil, and in the end, he's going to deserve the glory. You see, this war, this is not man's battle. This is God's battle. We're just a part of the army. Secondly, our battle strategy then must be under his command and under his control. If he's the mighty captain, I guess the rest of us privates ought to be looking at the captain to get our direction. Let's fight using his methods. Don't fight in any way that would disappoint the captain. Aim at only him receiving glory. Don't let this battle become your own selfish little project. You know, I watch leaders in Christianity. They all almost want to build for themselves the name of being a warrior. Truth of the matter is, we're all a bunch of buck privates, and we're serving the mighty captain, and it is our job to defend God and defend God's qualities and God's name. And hey, look, if we come out of this thing victorious, let me tell you what we ought to do. Fall on our face before God and say, "Thank God we had anything to do with the battle." But the battle is the Lord's. The victory is the Lord's. The honor is the Lord's. Hey, the qualities for which we fight, it's all about God. It's not about you and I. It's not about us. Let's then fight by faith. Learn to trust God while you're fighting for his cause. Have faith in his commandments. Have faith in his strategies. You say, "Well, Brother Owen, sometimes the Bible tells us to do stuff that we don't understand." Look, if you were serving a captain and you understood everything that they commanded you to do, wouldn't that be a little bit scary? Wouldn't you rather fight somebody that had some technology you knew nothing about? Wouldn't you like to have somebody that knew war strategy? Hey, how would you like to serve a captain that's never lost a war? You lose all the time. Knock it off and stop following yourself. Stop trusting your own logic. Stop trying to battle your own way and trust a mighty captain that has never lost a war. Never has. And just so you know, never will. Never will. We've got to fight using his methods. We've got to fight by faith. We've got to let his cause become our cause. Let the cause be his, not yours. sometimes we so personalize the battle that we forget it's not all about you. It is not all about me. But we're so self-centered. We get so pulled into ourselves. Look, some of you are having a tough time because the devil's trying to stop you because he's trying to hurt God. Shake yourself and wake up. It's a spiritual warfare. Stop living in that one little room in your mind that says it's about me, it's about me, it's about me. This is not your battle. You are a soldier in the battle of the Lord and in the Lord's army. You see, if you're not careful, you will make this and that it's all about your cause. It's all about your life. It's all about you. But it's not. It's all about Him. You see, if we don't make His cause our cause, but if His cause, what we'll begin to do is we'll start making judgments about whether it's worth it or not. You know, if it's your cause and not His, you're going to begin to debate. Is it worth it? Let me tell you something. It is worth whatever He wants us to pay to please Him. It's worth it. But you see, if this whole thing, your whole life is all about you and your cause, then you'll debate whether it's worth going through the suffering or going through some tough times or getting beat around a little bit by the world. You begin to debate, well, is this worth it for me? Hey, anything that God asks us to do is worth it for Him. It's worth it for Him. You see, let His cause be your cause. Don't make the cause of your life all about you. See, your cause instead of His cause will confuse you about expected victories. Your victory is not the goal. His victory is the goal. You see what happens to us? We get our eyes off the ultimate purpose. Oh, we'd like to make everybody believe that we want to just glorify God. We want to exalt Jesus. Well, if that be the case, you make His cause your cause. And if that be the case, anything He wants, it's worth paying the price. If that be the case, hey, it's not all about your victory. It's all about His victory. If we're not careful, your cause, instead of His cause, will cause confusion even about some defeats in life. Let's oppose defeat, not for our own reputations, but let's oppose spiritual defeat for His reputation. You see, His name is worthy. His name is worthy of protection and defense and for which to fight. Hey, your cause, instead of His cause, will create some magnified fears on your part. We fear for our own safety when our greatest fear should be to hurt or disappoint Him. You know, there's something more important than you. I have some fears and, oh, I don't want to get hurt, but let me tell you something. I have to take some chances of getting hurt to defend Him. I may have to go through some rough times and say, well, I think I'll back off. I'm going to get out of there. I could get hurt. What do you think He did for you? You see, let the cause be His cause, not your cause. If His cause... But your own, you'll start debating whether it's worth it or not. If you're not careful, you'll be more interested in your personal victory than His victory. You'll be more interested in your own defeat than keeping Him from having defeats. You will cause yourself to be fearful of things when we ought to step out and realize that the greatest fear ought to be our disappointing Him. Since the battle is the Lord's, we've got to make sure that we do what we can to fight this battle and fight it the right way. We should fight and do what we can to use His weapons. You know, when we fight for God, we're going to fight. We're going to use things like prayer and truth and love and patience and faith, and the Holy Spirit. We don't use revenge. We don't use anger and bitterness and divisiveness. Those are not the weapons of God. So if you're using those weapons thinking you're fighting a spiritual war, you're playing dirty warfare. You're not doing it right. We should fight using His weapons. The Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We shouldn't fire God's cannons using the devil's gunpowder. No, We've got to fight God's way. And I'll tell you something. God never rations spiritual bullets. God will give you all the spirituality you need. But in this war, we should fight using God's weapons. You see, we are asked to fight His battle. It is a battle for His name. It's a battle for His reputation. It's a battle that's really, really all about Him. We should fight using His weapon. Hey, let me tell you something about this thing. We have a special confidence. You say, how can we be confident? We have a predicted victory, and every time God predicts anything, it comes true. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:25, for He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. We sing the song, I'm on the winning side, but we forget about that. We are on the winning side. That's all there is to it. God has never nor will ever be defeated. Please don't forget, this is bigger than you. It is bigger than me. I don't know if you're like me. Every once in a while, I get in the heat of the battle. You know, all the things that happen. You struggle with the finances. You struggle with some people. You struggle at work. You struggle with a heartache. You got your own little sins and everything, and it's all hitting you. It's all coming at you. And if you're not careful, you just feel like it's all about you, and this is a big battle. Hey, the devil has forsaken everybody in the world, and you're the only one he's given any attention to. And this is all about you and the devil. You and the devil. You and the devil. You better step back and stop and take a look. This isn't all about you. It's all about God and the devil. And whatever happening in your life, it has something to do with the devil trying to stop you from doing something for God. It's bigger. Hey, you and I, we're peons. We're just little midgets in the universe. And the devil's messing with you. He has an ulterior motive, believe me. He's out to get God. He's trying to stop you from doing something for God. He's trying to stop you from accomplishing something for God. He's trying to get you off track for God. He just knows that you're one of God's warriors, and he's giving you a fit, but it's really him trying to get at God. The battle is not man's, but the Lord's. And the right way to think as we fight the battle is we've got to understand, hey, our opposition is strong, but not as strong as the Lord. The Lord deserves that we fight for Him. Then, hey, did you know that when we fight for the Lord, then our weaknesses are not as big a deal? You don't have to ask, who am I to fight? Just ask for who you're fighting. That'll make all the difference in the world. He fought for us. He deserves that we fight for Him. Let me tell you this. Our battle strategy has got to be under His control. You know, since the battle is the Lord's, if you're defeated, just be glad to know Jesus will not be defeated. You know, I know that sometimes we get this idea that we always win in life. Well, I'm not really experienced that. I get kicked around a bit. Anybody here suffer any loss? Okay. You know something? You say, well, it's not worth it. Things aren't going my way. It doesn't matter if it's going your way. It matters if it's going God's way. And it'll take a little humility in your spiritual backpack to analyze that, but it's really not all about me and you. You say, well, I didn't get the victory I wanted. The question is, did God get the victory God wanted? You say, I was defeated. Okay, maybe you were, but you better keep your eyes on the Lord. Well, the concern is that He's not defeated, and He won't be. You see, our strategy is under His control. We are to fight the battle His way. And the battle is not ours. It's the Lord's. And I'm finished, but let me say this. While you fight for Him, it's a wonderful thing, fighting elbow to elbow with Him and for Him. I read a historical account of Queen Elizabeth. She requested a very successful merchantman, a seaman, to join her Royal Navy. This man, he was independent of the Navy. He had many vessels. He had many, many men that worked under him. And she said, we're going to battle, and I want you to join me. And this is what he said. This was not a soldier. It was a merchantman, a seaman that made his money traveling the seas. She said, you come join me. You bring your vessels and you bring your men and join me. And he said to her, if I join your navy, if I fight your war and attend to your business, my own business will be ruined. And the queen said, you mind my business and I'll mind yours. Let me tell you something. You fight God's battles, He'll fight yours. Some of you are making a mistake. You're fighting people. You fight God's battles. Let God fight yours. While you're busy doing what God commands you to do, you're going to be shocked at how God moves in the night and starts solving some of your problems. God's got this uncanny way of coming along and beginning to, defeat some of our enemies. Why? We were busy defeating what we could of His. You see, she said, "You mind my business, and I'll mind yours." It may be the Lord's battle, but there is a benefit in being in the Lord's army. I called Ed Davis's house today. He has on his answering machine, "You've reached the house of Ed Davis," and he announces the 6-time winners of the Super Bowl, the Steelers. He's proud to be associated with a winning team. I got one better on the Steelers. We're not 6-time winners. We're every time winners. I'm on the winning side. You know something? The team is a winner. But if you watch through the season, you'll see some people get injured along the way. That didn't make the team a loser. The owner of the franchise feels pretty good about those wins. You know who owns us? God. God owns us. Many a man has lost his life in battle when the country won the war. And I'm not trying to say we're disposable, but we are. And I don't want any of us to become a casualty, but I'm going to tell you something. There are always casualties in a battle for the Lord. And the battle's not about me, and it's not about you, it's about Him. It's not about your name, it's about His name. It's not about your success, it's about His success. It's not about your glory, it's about His glory. And we're foot soldiers fighting for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we're not going to lose. We might get hurt along the way, but we're not going to lose. We're on the winning side. And the battle is the Lord's, I believe. That's what gave David the confidence to step up when everyone else cowered. I think David stepped back and he looked at it and he said, "This isn't personal, really. I think I'll fight because this is God's battle." And listen to the verse. He said, "All this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." Our hands. We get to share in the victory. The battle